All right, we're going to talk about oysters here. Let me lay a couple of ground rules here and tell everybody here kind of the timing constraints. We have a long meeting. We got a lot to accomplish. There's a lot of people here by our standards. We welcome public testimony and we welcome public input.
Want that. That said, I'd like to move this along quickly because there's about 2 hours here, a little bit more that we can devote to this. I want everybody to know the commission is well aware of the issues at hand. This has been discussed for the better part of this year. This has been the matter of a number of public meetings, both here and in Virginia Beach. So when I open the floor for public testimony, I would like folks to keep it quick, to move it along. And if you see me going like this, that means I want you to wrap up. Show of hands, how many people here expect to say something at the podium? Wow. I will ask you all to do everybody a favor and to try not to be redundant about the testimony that's already been presented when your time comes. The commission is very attentive. We hear you. Don't need to say it 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, okay? We'll start with a briefing from staff. There'll be questions from the commission, and I'll throw the floor open here for public comment. I will try to go pro and con to the best I can, and we'll give it a couple hours. Mr. Stack, please begin the extravaganza.
Some of my ground rules. In your packet, you'll see under tab four is the comments section. So, and I've kind of grouped those into, and I'll explain that during the presentation how they're grouped, but there's a 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, 4-4, 4-5. We did get some comments since the book was put together yesterday around noon, so I'm going to hand those out. They're on blue paper. They came in after your packet was made. They are identified as whether they're 4-1 or which agenda item they are. As part of your eval, you were supposed to have a copy of the Lynn Haven work group report. I think in our massaging that the last 2 days, it got omitted somehow, so I'm going to give you another copy of that just for your, so you have it. Y'all were given that last month. It was the recommendations from that group, and from that, you voted for us to hold this public hearing related to our on-bottom regulation. All the other recommendations, y'all did not take any action on, but I'm going to give you a copy of the report just so you have another copy.
Steps of 4-1 there. The one on top is that's all the same one that came in this morning. The rest of the 4-1s that are kind of grouped together, they're stapled together. They came in yesterday afternoon, noon, 12 noon. So they're also 4-1s, and then the other ones are just 4-3 and some of the other ones. With that said, we get started. So this is a public hearing related to amendments to Chapter 4-4-BAC 2335 Candidate Sequence pertaining to the on-bottom shellfish activities. The gist of what we're here to discuss is whether to establish some amendments to this regulation, which would either require permits for on-bottom cages up to 12 inches in Virginia Beach only, or whether an option would be to create some kind of buffer distance from the shore where cages could or could not be put. These were presented as part of the recommendations from the work group last month, and you approved basically advertising, you know, a multitude of possible amendments. We tried to pare that down into a little more succinct type recommendations. We did public notice these and in the newspapers and on our website, and we believe everything's been properly noticed. So as I said, y'all voted last month to hold this hearing. This is based on your action really, that started this process back in January. At that meeting, the commission did discuss legislation that was at that time pending before the General Assembly, which was would have instituted a moratorium on the issuance of new leases in the Lynn Haven River system for a period of time. It also contemplated that there might be some kind of work group set up. The commission at the January meeting, following some discussion, a motion was made by Associate Member Erskine to implement such a temporary moratorium on the issuance of any new leases in the Lynn Haven for a period of 7 months, during which time a study group of stakeholders would be formed, as appointed by the commissioner, to develop some recommendations to address user conflicts with commercial use of aquaculture gear on leased oyster ground and address the concerns of highland property owners and other users of the waterway. Associate Member Zedrin seconded the motion, and the motion carried 7-0 with the commissioner abstaining. After that time, the commissioner did select, invite 12 stakeholders to serve on the work group, and asked Associate Commissioner Neal to chair the group. The work group began meeting in April, and we met various times, both in Virginia Beach, at our main office. We had a boat trip to actually view the waterways of the Lynn Haven and Broad Bay and Lincoln Bay area to see, you know, the gear deployed. And after those meetings, the group did identify initially at one of the first couple of meetings 15 action items for discussion and possible recommendations. They were, those action items were discussed over numerous meetings to various degrees. And then at the August meeting last month, we did present a summary of those, which I gave you just a moment ago, along with the items that were discussed and their recommendations. Again, you voted to hold this public hearing today and advertise a number of alternative amendments to this regulation. So a little background. In your packet, you will see you have number three, a report from the House document titled 15, an analysis of organic statutes and regulations which inhibit shellfish aquaculture operations, which was dated 1996. So a little background to get us to where we are today. Following a significant decline in shellfish harvest, the General Assembly showed considerable interest in helping the shellfish industry and shellfish aquaculture in particular during the mid-1990s. Between 1994 and 2003, there were at least seven resolutions directing studies involving shellfish aquaculture from the General Assembly. The particular one I just mentioned requested VMRC to study its organic statutes and regulations and identify those that might inhibit the development and operation of shellfish facilities. The resolution specifically requested the commission to, one, identify ways to streamline and simplify existing requirements, and two, remove any unnecessary requirements which might be inhibiting shellfish aquaculture in the Commonwealth. With input of the of an advisory committee that was formed, the agency prepared House Document 15, which was endorsed by the commission at their November 1995 commission meeting. That document included several recommendations concerning leasing and shellfish aquaculture activities. Among other items, the document recommended the commission consider developing a general permit for aquaculture structures placed on the bottom, for example, trays, racks, nets. Such a general permit could address specifics concerning the maximum dimensions and permissible heights of those structures that could rise above the bottom. The recommendation specifically stated, number four from this report, recommend the commission explore the feasibility of implementing a three-dimensional water column leasing program under Chapter 12 of Title 28.2 of the Code of Virginia, and the possibility of developing a general permit for aquaculture structures in tidal waters, which would adequately address potential conflicts between user groups. So as far back as 1995-96, this issue was on the radar, and it did note in this recommendation that any general permit or any water column type lease should try to address both conflicts of user groups and the use of any kind of gear. The on-bottom regulation that we'll be reviewing today, the amendments, was developed pursuant to these recommendations contained in House Document 15. This regulation was developed at the time with the assistance of an advisory committee and did include consultation with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. It was approved by the Commission during a public hearing in November of 1997 with an effective date of January 1 of 1998. The current regulation does allow for the placement of aquaculture structures not to exceed 12 inches in height above the substrate upon existing oyster pound ground leases, subject to some other specific conditions within the regulation with no additional authorization. So that gets us to some background information. So the issues related to this are many, and you have the report of the work group, and they were fully vetted, I think, by Commissioner Neal would endorse that, I think. So with that, we do understand there is a potential conflict between cages, navigation, safety, and that can occur anywhere, even in areas not adjacent to residential areas. The current regulation does prohibit the placement of structures where they would have more than a minimal impact to navigation. Admittedly, a determination regarding the extent of impact on navigation can be difficult and debated. But the Commission has, after review, required certain cages to be relocated when we do get concerns from the public. Also, the current regulation requires proper marking of active work areas where such structures are deployed. And at this time, we're not aware of any documented injuries related to boating and aquaculture structure interactions. Of the approximately 2,460 acres of leased ground in the city of Virginia Beach, we did do some field investigations during the work group's meetings on how much of that area had on-bottom structures, and we determined that to be approximately 15 acres. Of this total, over half are adjacent to the existing state park within Broad Bay. While the placement of structures in waters bordered by residential property may create conflicts, the extent of this conflict remains relatively low, even in highly developed Virginia Beach area. To minimize the conflicts with riparian landowners, it would seem some accommodation for a buffer distance between the placement of cages and the riparian property owner would be reasonable and appropriate. In the initial years following the adoption of the on-bottom regulation, user conflicts remained relatively low. However, in recent years, with the increased production of oysters, the expansion of the use of on-bottom structures, and the continuing expansion of waterfront development, these user conflicts have increased. Concerns from waterfront property owners concerning the potential deployment of cages has also increased as industry has expanded. A related issue noted by the work group is that many landowners do not believe they are properly notified when oyster planting ground lease applications are granted, and therefore never have an opportunity to oppose any cage placement, since the placement of the structures does not involve any additional public interest review once the lease is granted. The lease application public notice procedures are mandated by the Code of Virginia, and changes would require legislative action. However, the Commission does now make all of our pending applications available on our website in addition to the mandated code requirements. The specific recommendations by the work group concerning this regulation were published as required and posted on our website. So this gets us to 4-4 in your packet, which is the public comments. So basically, I've grouped those as 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, 4-4, and 4-5. So 4-1, those letters and emails are all very similar. They are requesting that the Commission make no change to the regulation as it currently exists. We received 48 such letters or emails. 4-2 is a single letter from the Lynn Haven Now organization, who was represented on the work group. There's a number of things in that letter, but there is at the end an endorsement of 150-foot buffer distance. And we'll explain the details of that when I go through the actual amendments. 4-3, and there was only one letter for 150 foot. 4-3 are letters related to endorsing one of the amendments that would require all leaseholders in the Lynn Haven in Virginia Beach to seek a permit of some type to retain or place new structures 12 inches or less on their lease. We got 16 letters in support of that particular option. 4-4 is a petition that was sent. It was an online petition, and it doesn't really exactly address any of the specific recommendations, but you can read the statement at the beginning of the petition, and it clearly indicates that the people signing it are indicating they want some kind of action taken and not the status quo. 228 people signed on that online petition. We don't obviously have their signatures, but they put their name on the petition. That was all done digitally. 4-5 is miscellaneous letters that I couldn't really categorize. Within those, there are some letters that are rather lengthy that talk about riparian rights, riparian distances, how to qualify, public notification, and those are all issues that certainly are germane and were discussed by the work group, but are not really part of what we're here to discuss today. We're really here to just look at this regulation and whether to make any changes to it related to aquaculture structures. I will note that within the letters of support of no action, there was a letter from a state delegate supporting no change to the regulation. That was Delegate Fox. He did write a letter officially under his General Assembly letterhead supporting no change to the current regulation. So let's go through the changes that were proposed. So up on the screen, I pulled just the parts of the regulation that we proposed to kind of change to. So this is not the entire regulation, but I want you to look at anywhere you see an italics word, we're suggesting a change. So a couple of them are just language. At the very beginning, under the purpose of this chapter, this regulation, you will note that we're suggesting adding the word commercial to the language. It used to just say the criteria for shellfish aquaculture structures, and we're suggesting adding commercial here. We do have an oyster gardening permit that allows people to get a permit to put oysters in cages or floats at their private piers, and we wanted to make sure that if we made changes to this regulation that it was clear it was related to commercial activity and wouldn't conflict with that regulation. We believe this language will help clarify that. Under definitions, currently aquaculture structure is defined as devices such as cages, trays, nets, etc. We suggested just adding the word bags. A number of people are using mesh-type bags as another example, even though it does say etc., so it does cover, you know, other types of structures that may not be listed here. We're also proposing, and this was based on some of the work group's desires, to add the word aquaculture cage as a separate definition within the regulation. So the proposed language here would be aquaculture cage means any enclosed structure made of a rigid material designed to protect and grow molluscan shellfish. So this would include any kind of cage-type structure, but would not necessarily include bags or nets. So the two general amendments that we advertised, we're going to call the first one Amendment Option 1. This would require, both versions of this, would require that any current leaseholder in Virginia Beach that has a lease and wants to put cages up to 12 inches would have to get a permit through either the joint permit application process or through our fisheries regulation for cages that are more than 12 inches or that are to be marked with individual buoys. This would apply to all new cages if adopted, and it would apply to existing cages with the caveat, as you see here, that they would have to, within 18 months, seek that other type of permit, whether it's the JPA or the fisheries regulation, and obtain that in order to keep the cages deployed. The second option of that would be adding another sentence that says any encroachment fees or royalties required by permit or by the fisheries regulation permit, which would have been, these cages would have been allowed under this regulation without any fee, shall be waived within the city of Virginia Beach. So basically it just means you still need to get a permit for new cages. You still need to get a permit to retain cages already deployed within 18 months, but we would not charge a royalty for the encroachment under the JPA, and we would not charge an encroachment for the square footage of the cages under the fisheries regulation, which both have those fees in the code or in the regulation. That was the preferred option of the work group, was requiring a permit with allowance for waiving of those additional fees. There would be a permit fee under the JPA because that can't be waived, that's in the code, but there would be no royalty encroachment, so there'd be no square footage. That permit fee would either be $25 or $100, depending on the cost of the project. So amendment option two is the buffer distance option. And this is with or without residential area notification. So there's a lot of moving parts in this one, even though it's just sort of one thing here. So the way it's written is no currently deployed or new aquaculture cages shall be authorized under this regulation within the city of Virginia Beach within some specific distance. And there's three distances listed here, and that's the way it was advertised. Either 150 feet, 210 feet, or 500 feet from mean low water. So if you have a lease, then we would, and you pass one of these, we would measure from the mean low water line out into the lease, and one of these three distances would apply. So for any structures that were already deployed, the permittee, the leaseholder would have 18 months to either remove those cages and relocate them from the area or seek a permit again through either JPA or the fisheries regulation. Again, the fees here would be waived. This would be no cages within this distance, period, under this regulation in Virginia Beach if you select one of these specific distances. The only way they'd be able to put cages would be to seek a permit, and they'd have 18 months to seek that if they're already deployed, and no new cages would be allowed unless you went the permit route. The distances of 150 and 210 were distances that were voted on by the work group. 150 was the consensus distance that the work group sort of settled on early in the deliberations. So we did present that to them at the vote. That was endorsed. We also suggested 210, and the reason for that odd distance is the riparian law of Virginia allows landowners to get a riparian oyster ground lease, and the constraints of that are you must own 205 feet of frontage, but if you do that, you qualify. But the code also says that the riparian has to be 105 feet wide at the mean low water line. That's the minimum it has to be, and it cannot extend more than 210 feet out into the water. So this would match the current riparian oyster ground law for the distance offshore, and we thought that was a good idea to sync that up. That did not receive a majority vote from the group. I believe the vote was, it's in your packet, but it was like 5-6. The reason for the 500 foot, which was not voted on by the group, is that the fisheries permit that you might have to get here if you had to go this other route has a 500 foot notification requirement in it. So if you propose under the fisheries regulation to put cages more than 12 inches or with individual markers, we will notify all the adjacent landowners within 500 feet of where you're suggesting to deploy those. So we put that in there as well. The work group didn't vote on that one. And we got no support, no letters from the public, really, about the 500-foot. But that's the reason it's in there. So the other option would be, now that one was a buffer distance, and basically if you adopted it, no cages would be allowed within that buffer distance without a permit. just period. We wouldn't notify the adjacent landowner, it just wouldn't be allowed. The second alternative, which is a little longer, again, has the same, the cages that are 12 inches or less would no longer be allowed within the city of Virginia Beach only, without the consent of the residential landowner within one of these three distances. So the difference here is the leaseholder would have to tell us exactly where they want to put these and either seek on their own from adjacent landowners within that distance on their lease their consent that they agree that it's okay for them to put them out there. If the leaseholder can't get that, they have to provide us with the name and address of people within one of these three distances if you adopt it, and we will notify them. But again, the way this is written, it's not that we notify them and we don't hear from them and it's okay. You have to have the actual consent of the landowner within this distance. If you can get that, then your cages can remain, or you could put new cages with that consent. And this regulation would still apply because it would qualify then under this regulation with no additional authorization other than consent of the landowner. So we still wouldn't be issuing a permit. We would just confirm that the landowner within that distance had the right to either say yes or no. Of course, if the landowner said no, you would still have the option to seek a permit under the JPA or through the fisheries permit. Now, the likelihood of the commission approving that is probably not real good. If the landowner objected to start with, you were blocked, in other words, by this regulation, and you turn around and apply, well, we'll feel certain the same landowner will object again, and we could permit it, but we will probably scrutinize it pretty hard if you have a landowner objecting. So those are your options that we advertise. You know, and it's a little complicated because there's two sort of main themes. One is you need a permit period for existing or new ones with or without any kind of fee. And the second one is a buffer. One version of that is you set a buffer and there's no cages, period, without getting some kind of permit. The second option, the one we just discussed, is there's a buffer. The residential owner that's within that buffer gets to say yes or no. If he says no, it's no, unless you get a permit some other way through the commission. And again, under that, we would contemplate that the encroachment fees would also be waived then if you could get a permit, even though the landowner had objected initially to the placement under this regulation. So those are your options. As I noted earlier, the comments we got relate to those. So we got no comments really on the 210 feet, which you're going to find out in a minute. That's kind of what we're recommending. In addition, you need to note in your packet a couple of additional items. Item 5, which is a letter from State Senator Linwood Lewis and State Senator Robert Bloxham. It was written jointly with the two of them, State Delegate Robert Bloxham, requesting an official opinion from the Office of Attorney General concerning whether any of these amendments that we advertise are legal and or discriminatory. That letter's in your packet, and I have no comment on it. We have not received any official opinion from the Attorney General's office. Number 6 is a resolution that was adopted by the City of Virginia Beach last week, September the 20th, where they endorsed the work groups recommendations. So they basically, and that document's in there, you can read it, but they basically endorsed the work group's work and their recommendations, or whatever that's for. So, having said all that, our summary and recommendation. We do understand that user conflicts can occur when on-bottom structures are allowed on orchard planting ground leases. Comments from the public show a continued variety of opinions concerning this issue. And here I said the majority feel there's some type of notification is needed when structures are proposed near the shore, near residential properties. At the time I wrote that, I hadn't gotten all of these 48 letters indicating don't change anything. The vast majority of those came in Thursday, Friday, and yesterday. So So at that time, I had more letters suggesting a permit option was what the public preferred. Obviously, that changed a little bit when we got all those other letters. Didn't really change our recommendation. Staff has noted some general increase in concerns from the public statewide for existing on-bottom structures already deployed, but such user conflicts remain relatively low in number. Staff has, however, noted a definite increase in protest of pending orthoground applications, and often the objections include a fear that structures will be placed on any such lease in the nearshore area and the potential user conflicts that could result if such structures are deployed in that area in the future. The two amendments currently being considered that received the most affirmative votes from the work group are no action, which is not in your eval, or Amendment J that would require a leaseholder to seek a permit to install any new cages or to retain any already deployed cages, with the waiving of a royalty fee for such permit, or an alternate Amendment J which would require any leaseholder in the City of Virginia Beach to obtain the approval of any adjacent highland property owner where cages are proposed or where the existing could be retained within a specific distance of mean low water along residential areas within the city. If the adjacent property owner within the specified distance provides their consent, then the leaseholder could not place any new cages, or if already deployed, they'd have to be removed within 18 months, or the leaseholder would need to seek some other type permit to place such structures on their lease. Staff has carefully evaluated the past resolutions from the General Assembly concerning efforts to promote shellfish industry and the resulting recommendations endorsed by the Commission. We have also carefully considered the recommendations of a recent shellfish task force and the recommendations from the Lynn Haven Work Group and the comments we've received from the public of the proposed regulatory amendments. Accordingly, considering the intensely developed nature of most of the residential shoreline in the Lynn Haven system and the nearshore use conflicts associated with such development, as well as the recreational use, including boating activity along the city's residential shorelines, we recommend the Commission consider adopting the following version of the new item J, which is listed in your eval, along with minor wording changes to the regulation title and the creation of a definition of aquaculture cages. We believe such changes are in keeping with the intent of the recommendation contained within House Document 15, and that other areas in the Lynn Haven should be suitable for aquaculture use as authorized by the current on-bottom regulation, provided all aquaculture structures are deployed pursuant to the regulation and the lease grounds and the active work areas where their cages are deployed are marked as required. So the modified regulation language is then listed with the item J that we are recommending, which is the one you see on your screen. And so this is the actual full regulation with the definition purpose changes, aquaculture cage. This, none of this section would change, which is the current regulation. And then we would add item J, which would require a 210-foot buffer approval from a residential landowner, or you would have to seek a permit through the permit process or the fisheries regulation permit. With that, I'm going to try to answer any questions.
Mr. Stagg, you had mentioned the General Assembly and its guidance that it given in 1996-1997 time frame. You also mentioned the letter from two current members of the General Assembly. Would you tell us a bit about that letter?
Sure. And probably the best thing to do is to read that into the record.
Quickly.
I'll read as fast as I can. So this was written to the Honorable Mark Herring, the Attorney General, from Linwood Lewis, Jr., who's a senator in General Assembly, and Robert Boxham, Jr., who is a House of Delegates member. We are writing to you with regard to a recent decision on the August 23rd, 2016, by the Virginia Marine Resources Commission to move forward with a public hearing on recommendations made by the Commission's Lynn Haven Work Group involving amendments to the on-bottom regulation. Specifically, the Commission will be looking at adding an item J. Of course, they're all item J's. It would read as follows. The regulation does not authorize any person to deploy commercial agriculture structures within the City of Virginia Beach. Any commercial agriculture structures currently deployed in the City of Virginia Beach pursuant to the previous versions of this regulation shall either be removed or properly authorized by a permit under 28.2 of the Code of Virginia or by other regulation within 18 months of the amended effective date of this regulation. Concerns have been brought to our attention by local leaders within the agriculture industry about the legality of this proposed change. As you know, the local aquaculture industry is vital to the Tidewater region and the Eastern Shore, and we share the concerns put forth by local business owners and industry leaders. That being said, we would appreciate clarification on two points regarding the amendment. Does the law allow a change in the parameters of a contractual agreement between the leaseholder and the state, VMRC? Two, is the proposed change discriminatory? As the commission is set to host a public hearing and comment on this amendment, the VMRC at the VMRC September meeting, any clarity you can provide would be most helpful. Sincerely, Linwood Lewis and Robert Box.
Well, that does raise the question, is there any legal clarity that can be provided by the Attorney General's office? So I will turn to my right here. Mr. Hall.
Yes. Okay. So obviously, as Mr. Stagg noted, the AG has not rendered the formal opinion in this case yet. And unfortunately for me, I guess, I can't really just say we haven't reached an opinion here, so, you know, we'll do this later. My job is to provide legal advice to the commission, so I'll try my best to answer the questions here, not really restricted to this one option, but to all the options. Obviously, I should put forth a proviso that this could be overruled by my superiors, as that is certainly their right to do. So taking the questions in reverse order, I'd say answering first the question, is the proposed change discriminatory? I would read that to be a question about whether it's unlawfully discriminatory. I think the answer to that is pretty clearly no. You have two provisions that are sort of implicated. One is a state constitutional provision that provides or prohibits the enactment of special legislation. That provision only applies to certain categories of laws, and this would not really fall into any of those categories, so you don't really have to worry about that one. The other is a federal constitutional provision, which guarantees the equal protection of laws, and frankly, the standard under both the state constitutional provision and the federal one are the same, so it really doesn't matter that the state one doesn't apply. So under the federal equal protection clause, this is not a regulation or a distinction among protected classes, so you don't have to apply any sort of elevated scrutiny. You just have to look for a rational basis, which means you look for whether the commission would have a legitimate public purpose in enacting this regulation and whether that regulation is reasonably related to that public purpose. The public purpose here, as Mr. Stagg has noted, is the regulation of state-owned submerged lands and the waters over them, and the uses of those waters, which the commission has been entrusted to do pursuant to 1205 and other statutes. Whether this is rationally related to that, I think yes. The public purpose too, meaning that behind the special treatment of Virginia Beach would be that Virginia Beach, as again has been noted, is an especially developed area with a higher population than any other city in the state, and a density, rather a developmental density that is higher than any other portion of the coastal state, at least. So there is a justification for differential treatment here, and whether this is rational related to that purpose, again, I say yes, because this sort of helps deal with the conflicting user groups of the bottom. So for those reasons, I would say that the proposed change is not unlawfully discriminatory. Now, the next question is about whether the commission can change the terms of a contractual agreement between the state and a leaseholder. The provision that's implicated there is contracts clause of both federal and the state constitutions. Standards under both are the same. You look first to see whether the terms of a contract are impaired. Then you look to see whether the impairment is a substantial impairment. And if you find that, then you look at whether the exercise of the state's police power is on reasonable conditions and are appropriate to the public purpose justifying the adoption of the change in terms. Here you do have contracts between the state and these leaseholders in the form of the leases, and the proposed regulation would technically impair those contracts, because even though the leases do not expressly incorporate the regulations that pertain or that deal with the on-bottom aquaculture structures, the law, or sorry, contracts are construed to include all laws that pertain to their execution at the time that they are signed. So this regulation, because it was in force when all leases were assigned, is a part of those contracts, just as if it had been included in the contract itself. Then you look at whether the impairment is substantial, and that's sort of a squishy standard, but you do have some fairly good case law out there that does describe it, and there's one in particular from the Virginia Supreme Court that dealt with the commission's, or actually dealt with leases in another scenario where the General Assembly had banned hydraulic dredging for clams on leases, and the Virginia Supreme Court said, you know, we look through this, we don't find it's a substantial impairment. You know, the people still have the right to take oysters or clams or sailfish from the leases. They still have exclusive possession of the bottoms for that purpose, and that's really the main purpose of the leases themselves. So the fact that you no longer have a particular gear to use to take the clams is of no consequence or no substantial consequence. And the fact that it may be uneconomic to have leases because of the lack of availability of that gear is also of no consequence. Here, I think that analysis sort of applies pretty much the same way, that you know, you have these leases out there. We're not saying you can't use cages. We're just saying that you have a different regulatory process to go through. No longer can you just go out and put your cages down. You actually have to get, or at least in certain scenarios, have to get either a permit or satisfy another general permit's conditions. So under that old, or not really old, but the Virginia Supreme Court case, I would say that that would not be a substantial impairment. Now, is that 100% a sure outcome? No. I do think it's the most likely outcome of any sort of analysis like that. But if you really want to be 100% certain, then you would just make the regulation forward-looking only, to say that they apply only to leases that are assigned, transferred, or renewed on or after the effective date of the regulation. I think that's it.
That's all?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a lawyer. That sounded a bit like Greek to me. We do have somebody in the audience who does speak a little bit of Greek, but be that as it may. All right, Commission, you've heard from staff and Mr. Hull. I would imagine there are questions. Who's first? There are no questions from the commission. Mr. Tankard.
Mr. Stagg, you mentioned that there were 15 acres that we're really talking about here, and you also stated that half the acres that you mentioned are adjacent to the state park.
Yeah, we think more than half probably are adjacent to the state, which is not residential. It's a state park.
So can you help me understand how 7 acres, perhaps, has come to bring all these people here today? I mean, has there ever been, I mean, you said there has been no incident, there has been no mishap.
We're not aware of any. We are getting complaints, you know, from around the state when people put cages in certain places, and we follow up, and we either determine they're in compliance with the regulation or they aren't. If they aren't, it's a navigation issue or some other concern, then we require them to either remove them or move them to another location on their lease. To answer your first question, I don't have a good answer, other than where these are set in residential areas, in Virginia Beach in particular, they have caused, you know, considerable consternation of those affected landowners, and that has permeated to pending applications that are down there being protested with the fear that they're coming. And the flip side of the argument that was discussed at the work group is that certainly not all of the 2,460 acres that's leased in the Lynn Haven would ever have cages on it. It's just not suitable. It's either too deep or the bottom's not. But there is considerably more acreage in the nearshore area in Virginia Beach. A lot of it's residential where a leaseholder could currently put cages on it. So the potential is for much more acreage or square footage of cages than we currently see. We did note at the meetings that the industry in Virginia Beach is a little different than the rest of the state. It's more of a mom-and-pop cottage industry. The commercial people down there are smaller in general than a lot of other places. So our argument from the staff level at that point was that we don't think you'll ever see with so much expansion of on-bottom type cages in Virginia Beach. Certainly it could expand beyond where it is now. There is ground that's suitable. And I think that's what's driving it, is that fear that this could get even worse than it is now in light of people who don't like it.
Mr. Fritz.
Do you have an idea of these buffer zones from 100 feet on out to 210 feet, just how many leaseholders they will affect? I mean, like, just a close percentage of, like, 100 to 210 feet?
I don't, but I can tell you that I did do a little work with a buffering tool with these distances to see how that would impact the leases and the landowner. 150 feet does in a lot of the Lynn Haven, particularly Broad Bay and some of Lincoln Bay, would not get you out past the end of a lot of people's piers. You know, it wouldn't even get you to the end of the private piers. 210, pretty close to captures most of people's piers. Most people in that area do not have piers, you know, longer than that. There's a few. 500 would go way beyond everyone's pier and would impact a lot of nearshore leases. And what the percent is, you know, I don't know, but we have a lot of leases that come relatively close to shore or are right off the end of the piers. 500 would impact all of those. The 210 or 150, not so much. It would only impact ones where the leases already existed and people built piers out into the lease, which is allowed. But we try to avoid, you know, going in and out around lease piers now. So there would be some impact with any of these buffer distances. 500 would be fairly extreme. The other two to the leaseholder would not be that extreme. We just felt like the 150 would, even though the work group endorsed that one, you know, it wouldn't even get to the end of a lot of people's piers, which is where we see this issue. People don't want these near their piers, interferes with navigation, interferes with their use of the area for jet skiing and swimming and kayaking. So we felt that was a better compromise. But there would be some impact to leases. Now, again, you could turn around and try to get a permit under one option, or you could try to get the adjacent landholder to, you know, say it's okay. Almost all our leases that are along the shore in the Lynn Haven, where it's residential, go out from the shore more than 210 feet. So the leaseholder would still have the option under any of these scenarios, except the one that says you have to get a permit anywhere in the Lynn Haven, whether it's deep water or shallow. To move the buffer option, they could move them past the buffer. So if their lease is 600 feet deep, they could move them more than 210 or more than 150 or more than 600 and put them on that part of their lease where they would still qualify under the regulation. Sorry, the long answer to your
question. Mr. Erskine.
Ben, I first want to thank you for all your hard work, not only with this presentation, but also with the work group. I know it was a kind of long, hard road. I did have a question. You outlined item J, the JPA, general permit 4, those kind of things. Can you outline for me these cages that are currently in question, you know, in the Lynn Haven system, what regulation they operate under, and also what is the enforcement, what are the regulation requirements under how they operate?
The current permit.
Yes, sir.
Current regulation.
Yes, sir.
So the current regulation allows any leaseholder to put cages up to 12 inches off the bottom when deployed. without really seeking any additional authorization from us. And there are some caveats in that. You know, the regulation, these are the current conditions of the regulation right here. There is, of course, you have to have a lease to start with to do this. C covers the marking requirements, and that was changed fairly recently to require that either the lease be marked, the corners, or the area, active work area where the cages are. So you have a 10-acre lease and you're using an acre of it for cages. You could just mark the area where the cages are with some markers, at least two placards that say either aquaculture structures or some similar language. We went over this last month. You know, underwater structures, danger, caution. At least two placards. You can put more than that facing outward so the public has some warning. It's supposed to be at least 4 feet above the mean high water line at all times. I can, as a chief engineer, approve an alternate marking plan in unique circumstances where we might need to make an adjustment because of some other use of the water. Of course, the cages and nets and type should be made out of non-toxic material. They can't extend more than 12 inches. You cannot place them on submerged aquatic vegetation. They can't cause more than a minimal adverse effect on navigation, and you have to follow all the other laws related to harvesting and shellfish and regulations, and we can direct removal of any structure that fails to meet any of these conditions. So that's the current regulations that everybody operates under. And as I said, we get complaints. I'm working on one in Northern Virginia right now, that cages have been placed near people's piers and it's interfering with their navigation. And law enforcement's actively working that case at the moment. I anticipate we'll probably be requiring some of them to be moved. But we'll get the report back from law enforcement. But that's the current regulation. So under the new suggested language, there would be two options. No more cages 12 inches within the Lynn Haven without seeking a permit. So this regulation would no longer apply to Virginia Beach at all for new ones or the current ones. So the current ones would have 18 months to seek either the joint permit application process to allow them to stay, or new cages would have to submit a joint permit application, or seek either one of these scenarios, seek the fisheries permit, which does allow cages more than 12 inches or cages that are marked with individual buoys. That requires a fisheries permit. So you just have to get that permit with either paying the fees for the royalties or with the fees waived. Second option is the buffer options. That would be within one of these three distances if you approved it. If the landowner says he objects within that distance, then this regulation no longer applies. You cannot put the 12-inch cages out there. But you could still seek a permit, just like under the previous amendment, and the same thing, either with the fees waived or not. So those would be the options that we advertised and we presented to you.
That's a follow-up.
Mr. Erskine.
You had mentioned Northern Virginia, that you're currently working on some of these with respect to navigation. Have you invoked item I guess it is, the commission may direct removal of any of the structures that fail to meet the requirements within the Lynn Haven system?
Yes. We did find one structure in the Lynn Haven it was just a structure that was non-compliant. The structure itself was considerably more than 12 inches, and we did request the leaseholder to remove that. It was actually a fish trap. It wasn't even an oyster. My understanding is that was removed. We did have, when we checked this to get the 15 acres, we did find some cages that were out of compliance. They were more than 12 inches. We have tried to work with the leaseholder to bring those into compliance and ask them to either seek the fisheries permit or a lot of the cages are more than 12 inches because they have feet. But if you push them down or they sink down into the bottom, they can still be compliant with the regulation. The regulation doesn't say a 12-inch cage. It says the structure cannot exceed 12 inches off the bottom. So we have been actively working with the leaseholders, but other than that fish trap, we have not really required anyone to remove them. We did require some people to stop stacking them on really shoal areas where they dry the cages, the fouling. They stack two or three empty cages. You know, we've told them you have to take them to land somewhere. You can't stack them that way. So we're actively doing that as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Ballard.
So if I'm reading this and understanding this correctly, We do currently have the ability, if there are impacts to navigation, to require the movement of cages.
Movement or removal.
Okay.
I mean, if there's no place on the lease that's not causing, you know, an impact, and we agree with that. I mean, we evaluate it on a case-by-case basis. And that's one of the criticisms of this regulation is it's reactive versus proactive. We don't say in advance, don't put them there.
Right.
And I understand that. That's, you know, but that's the way it's written. But, yes, we can ask a person to move them or require them to move them or remove them.
Other questions from the commission?